And there's one thing that I don't understand, that if God has brought you from a certain point in your life, why in the world would you want to go back to that place again? Man, I tell you what, in my old day, there were some dark, weary days before I came to know Christ as my Savior. Yeah, I remember I had just got to the point in my life where, you know, getting high anymore just wasn't any fun. I mean, it just was, you know, it just like didn't do anything. And man, I tell you what, when I got saved and God changed my life and my world lit up and I became excited about being a child of God, you know, I was sharing with somebody last week that when I got saved and went back to college, all the football players, I began to witness to them. And they began to come to church, and some of them got saved, and some of them today are involved in the church as leaders. And I look back and I say, man, you know, I was excited. You know, God got a hold of my heart because I was so appreciative of where God brought me from and where he put me.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today as we continue our series on spiritual warfare titled Looking for a Reason to Fight with the first half of The Shield of Faith, Part 2. So please open your Bible to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 14, as we join Dr. Glaze for the first half of The Shield of Faith, Part 2.
As we continue on with our series, Something Worth Fighting For, and we're looking at this whole idea of putting on the armor of God, as the choir so eloquently sang about this morning, that we put on this armor. And as we go back, you know, we see that God has called us to put it on and to keep it on. And we began to look at the various pieces of armor. And we started out by looking at this girdle of truth. And we said that, you know, you got to have the truth about your waist, that you are a person of integrity, that you are not duplicitous, but you are for real, and you are not caught up, because we said the devil's a liar, and the fact that he's a liar, he wants to get people to lie also. So we talked about that girdle of truth, and then we moved on to the breastplate of righteousness, and we said that you got to put that on, that as long as you are wearing the breastplate of righteousness, that you are concerned about holy living. You are concerned about living the right way. And then we talked about the gospel shoes, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And that means because you have salvation, that because you are living in a relationship with God, that there's a peace in your life, that you have peace in your life despite the circumstances or despite anything that you have to go through. And last week, we left off with the shield of faith. And we just kind of briefly got into an introduction dealing with the shield of faith. And we started out by saying that Satan is a discourager, and that's his job. His job is to discourage God's people. And we talked a little bit about the shield of the Roman soldier. We said it was about 2.5 feet wide and 4 feet long, and that it was drenched in water so that when the enemy would shoot his flaming arrows or his flaming missiles, that the water on the front of the shield would quench the flaming arrows of those who were their opponents. Somebody brought out a very interesting point to me last week as I was leaving. They said, you know, Pastor, Jesus said that he was the living water, and that, you know, we need to allow the water of the Holy Spirit, you know, to flow. What's that scripture in John say? Flow up out of us like springs of living water. And the point that the person was making, that if we are allowing the Spirit to flow out of us, that whenever Satan shoots his arrows at us, that we will have that faith to be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And so we talked about that Roman shield, and we talked about the purpose of the shield. We said that the purpose of the shield was twofold. First of all, it was to stop the arrows from piercing the bodies of the soldiers. And then secondly, it was to quench or extinguish those flaming arrows of the enemy. Then we talked about the preeminence of the shield. He said in verse 16, above all. And there were three views that we looked at last week as to what above all means. One view says, especially this piece, that if you don't have any other piece, make sure you got this one. And then somebody said, well, above all means that you put it over all the rest of the armor. That, you know, when you put all the rest of the armor on, above all of that, you put on the shield of faith. Then somebody said, above all actually means at all times and in every situation to put it on and keep it on. And it's like I said last week, which view is the right view? All of them. All of them. You know, make sure you got this one if you don't have any other one. Make sure that you put this one above all the rest of them, and then make sure you have it on at every time and in every situation. We looked at the prerequisite to the shield of faith. We said that the verb there, he says having the shield of faith or taking the shield of faith. That means having taken up. That before you get to the place where you need it, that you've already taken up the shield of faith. And then we talked about the power of the shield of faith. And the scripture says, take up the shield, watch this now, take up the shield, which is faith. That there's no shield that you have to take up, or no literal shield that you take up. But what Paul is saying here, every time you exercise faith, that you are taking up the shield, which is faith. And then we talked about the purpose of the shield. And what is the purpose of the shield? The purpose of the shield is to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the wicked one, to put them out. So that brings us to our next part of the message. And before we get into the message this morning, let's ask God's blessing upon this time. How to extinguish the fiery arrows of the devil. How do you extinguish the fiery arrows of the devil? Well, I propose to you this morning and next week that there are four main arrows of discouragement that Satan shoots at the believer. He shoots at the believer the arrow of regression, and that is to get you to backslide, to get you to become so discouraged that you turn away from God and you turn back to things that are leading you in the other direction. How do you extinguish that arrow? You hold up the shield of faith. That's by trusting God. He shoots at us the arrow of suppression to make us powerless, to make us impotent. How do you extinguish that arrow? You hold up the shield of faith. You tell Christ. He shoots at us the arrow of depression where he tries to weigh us down or beat us down. How do you extinguish that arrow? By holding up the shield of faith, taking refuge. And then he tries to cause us to be obsessed. He causes our mind to be obsessed with things and become overly concerned so that we find ourselves rendered ineffective because our minds are so filled with one thing that Satan has caused us to obsess with that we are no good for the kingdom of God. How do you extinguish this dart? You extinguish it by holding up the shield of faith, and that is tearing down. So we're going to start with this arrow, this first arrow, and that is the arrow of regression. And when we say regression, what we mean here is that Satan is trying to get you to backslide. Satan is trying to get you to go back to something that God has already brought you out of. God has already led you past. God has already given you the victory. And yet still you find yourself gravitating back to something else. Oh, you need to realize that Satan hits us like that. Satan shoots this missile of regression, and they're all around us. They're aimed at you right now, causing you to want to slide back. Look at the book of Job, if you would, with me this morning. Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. Verse 6 says, Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, And Satan, oh, here we go. You knew he was going to pop up. You knew he was going to pop up. I remember in Braddock, there was a bar on Braddock Avenue. And the name of the bar was Up Jump the Devil. Some of y'all was there. Up Jump the Devil. Well, we knew he was going to jump up. You know, we talking about it. He's going to jump up. And so it says here, and Satan came also with them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Satan, answered the Lord, from where comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. See, make no mistake about this, that Satan is busy. He is walking up and down, to and fro. And if we read the book of Revelation, it tells us that the devil knows that he only has a short time left. And he's trying to get as many folk as he can to become followers of him. Or, if nothing else, to at least turn away from following God. So he's walking to and fro. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in all the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for nothing? Hast thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. So we see here that the devil was trying to bring Job down. He was trying to get Job to do what? To curse God. Well, let's bring this down, because, you know, that was 2,000, 4,000 years ago. Let's bring this down to 7745 Tioga Street today. Let him lose his job and he will turn away from spending time with you. Let him have a bill that was unexpected and get into a little financial debt, he'll stop coming to church. Let him get a sickness in his body and he'll find a reason not to serve you. Satan is still as busy today. Remember, Paul said that have not become unaware of Satan's devices. We are not unaware of his tricks. You know, one of the main jobs that Satan has is to teach you a dance. You say, well, what dance is that? Those of you who grew up in maybe the 80s, Satan was trying to teach that dance. What is that dance? That dance is called the moonwalk. Because what is he trying to get you to do? He's trying to get you to do one of these numbers. Go backwards. God is trying to get you to stay here. God says, look, stay with me. Stay in my presence. Stay before me. But what is Satan trying to do? Satan is trying to get you to do that moonwalk. He's trying to get you to slide away from God. And there's one thing that I don't understand, that if God has brought you from a certain point in your life, why in the world would you want to go back to that place again? Man, I tell you what, in my old day, there were some dark, weary days before I came to know Christ as my Savior. Yeah, I remember I had just got to the point in my life where, you know, getting high anymore just wasn't any fun. I mean, it just was, you know, it just like didn't do anything. And man, I tell you what, when I got saved and God changed my life and my world lit up and I became excited about being a child of God, you know, I was sharing with somebody last week that when I got saved and went back to college, all the football players, I began to witness to them. And they began to come to church, and some of them got saved, and some of them today are involved in the church as leaders. And I look back and I say, man, you know, I was excited. You know, God got a hold of my heart because I was so appreciative of where God brought me from and where he put me. And you know what? I would have to be some kind of fool to want to go back to that place again. But yet and still, we find God's people visiting those old stopping grounds.
we find God's people visiting those old places that held them down, that kept them back. And God is saying, look, don't let the devil take you back. Don't let the devil allow you to regress and turn around and backslide. But you put up that shield when that desire comes to go back to the old places. Put it up. Put it up and quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one.
Oh, you heard the story about the man and the lady that were driving down the road, and you know, they were an elderly couple. And as they were going down the road, the lady looked over at her husband and said, you know, when we first got married, you know, we used to be all hugged up and sit close together when we were in the car. And they rode on for a mile or two, and the guy looked over at his wife. He said, well, I haven't moved. And you know what? If there is some distance between you and God, God hasn't moved. God hasn't gone anywhere. You need to begin to examine your heart. See, look what Job did. Job said, Job threw up this shield of faith. Look in verse 20. After Job lost his possessions and he lost his family, all because of a satanic attack. And keep in mind, what was Satan trying to do? Satan was trying to get him to backslide. Satan was trying to get him to turn away from God. Then Job arose and tore his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped God. And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What did Job do? Job threw up the shield of faith. Satan was trying to take him down. Satan was trying to get him to go back to places that he had been before. But Job put up the shield of faith. He said, man, I'm going to continue to trust God. He said, even though things might be falling down around me, even though I might have lost family and possessions, I'm going to continue to trust God. Where else can I go? Who else can I turn to? And in all this, the scripture says, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Ah, but guess what? Satan wasn't through. He wasn't through. He came to God again, and he said, let me touch his body. Let me touch his life. And what will he do? He'll moonwalk on you, God. Job will moonwalk on you. He will slide back away from you. He will turn away from you. He will backslide. And God said, yeah, go ahead, but don't take his life. And so he hits Job again. And Job could have fallen into the arrow of Satan, but what did he do? In verses 9 and 10, he put up that shield of faith again. He put it up. His wife said unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What, shall we receive good at the hand of God and not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. The shield of faith. My brothers and sisters, I'm about practical preaching. I'm about practical preaching. I don't want to give you something that you walk out of here and say, well, how in the world do you apply that? Job, right here, is an example. That when Satan hits you, that you need to turn and you need to put your trust in God, and you need to say to the devil, look, for God I live and for God I'll die. I'm on a battlefield for the Lord. God has blessed me so much that no matter what difficulties can come my way right now, I'm not going to turn away from him. You know, I'm amazed at how easily some of God's people are just moved. And they get frustrated and they turn around and they turn away from God because of a satanic attack. You know, I've been wrestling with something. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm going to be honest with you. You know, when I hear people say, you know, I'm not going to receive that. You know, the devil's a liar. I'm not going to receive that. I've had problems with that. I really have had problems with that. But as I was meditating and studying, the Lord gave me a new light on this thing. And I don't know what a lot of people say or mean when they say that, but God gave me a new light on this situation.
And the light that he gave me is this, is that Satan attacked Job, and Job didn't receive it. Oh, and you know the problem I've had? People have had cancer. They got cancer. The doctors say they got cancer. They got cancer in their body. They're sick because of cancer. And they say the devil is a liar. I'm not going to receive it. Well, I think to myself, well, whether you receive it or not, that's what you got. You know? And so I struggle with that. But you know what I think? The correct way to interpret that or to think about that is this. Is that you are not going to receive. The devil is a liar. And I'm not going to receive all this negativity that he's bringing around this illness. Oh, yeah, I have the illness. I can't deny that. I've got the illness. Or I'm broke, busted, and disgusted. You know, I can't deny that. But you know what I can deny? You know what I can't receive? Is the fact that all this garbage that the devil was going to bring along with it. But see, and that's where we get into the problem sometimes. Is that we receive all that stuff. Well, you know, I got a report that I got sick. Oh, you know, let me go home and sit in front of my rocking chair and just waste away my days. Let me just pine away my day. Oh, you know, I'm broke. I can't do this. You know, I might as well not even go over there because I don't have this. And I don't see you received all that stuff. The devil is not so much concerned about your illness. He's not concerned about your illness. You know what the devil is concerned about? He's concerned about how you handle your illness. That's what he wants. Because I've seen some people who got ill, and they got on fire for God. And they turned the world upside down when they were sick. You know, we're going to look at Paul here in a second. He prayed 3 times for God to take away his thorn in the flesh. I don't know what it was. Some kind of sickness, some kind of obstacle, some kind of impediment in his life. He prayed 3 times, not, Lord, take it away, but 3 intense times with fasting and prayer. Paul prayed, and God left it there. I like what Charles Stanley said. Charles Stanley said, Paul probably tried to bargain with God and say, God, if you just take this away, I'll witness to the world. God, if you just take this away, I'll write 27 epistles to churches. God, if you just take this away, I'll go to Rome and witness to Caesar. And God said, well, you're going to do it anyways, and I'm going to leave it right there. And Paul did exactly that. See, you know, we receive sometimes what goes along with that. Thank God that Job didn't receive all that foolishness that Satan was trying to bring in his life. You know, I was thinking about, or I was reading. Let me read to you this. In 1921, Albert Einstein won the Nobel Prize in physics. It was given to him not for the theories of relativity that he discovered, but for the law of photoelectric effect. This is heavy, so I'm reading some stuff that I don't probably know fully understand. The scientific law explained how and why some metals give off electrons after light falls on their surfaces. The discovery led to development of modern electronics, including the radio and the television. This brother was a genius. As I heard somebody say, he could book numbers without a pencil or a paper. No. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Brother was a genius, won a Nobel Prize. Listen to this. When Albert Einstein was in grade school, his teachers told him he would never amount to anything. They told him that he would never amount to anything.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of The Shield of Faith, Part 2. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, The Shield of Faith, Part 2, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Shield of Faith. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Shield of Faith. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.